This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I don't get this one. I don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Ja Morant. What he's doing right now is he is flushing it down the toilet. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
The Rich Eisen Show.
It's a damn shame. Like, you can't tell your friend we've got to separate right now.
Earlier on the show, ESPN NFL analyst Louis Riddick. Coming up, senior NBA writer for The Athletic, Sam Amick. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We had a great chat with Louis Riddick. Talked a little bit of ball with him. Joe Burrow's speaking today. He had some interesting things to say. We'll get that to you as conditions warrant. Sam Amick of The Athletic will be joining us in hour number three. Doc Rivers got fired today. And Monty Williams got fired over the weekend. And those are two good guys who know how to coach and know how to lead men. And just could not get that win to move on this year. And in the case of both guys, two disappointing finishes in a row, despite making the playoffs and going, in the case of Monty Williams, pretty damn deep in the playoffs. In the case of Doc Rivers, not being able to get to the conference finals, 9 straight losses coaching a team trying to get to the conference final. Pretty wild. And Sam Amick will join us top of hour number three. Look, none of us want to relive the spring and summer of 2020. None of us. They were dark times, certainly for us here in this studio, when we're wondering our future as a show and where we're wondering about our future as humans on the planet, right? I mean, like, bigger than what we were doing professionally, but that was adding for me, and I know for all of us here, a lot of the angst, and also adds to the excitement and the appreciation of what we're going to do next week, which is go back to the Emmy Awards as a nominated show for Best Studio Show, Daily Studio Show, and it gives us perspective and appreciation. But the reason why I bring this up is, if you recall, during that summer, during the early months of the pandemic, we would come in here and we all agree to each other, hey, we'd do our best to quarantine and not get each other sick. And we came in here and we talked about the Last Dance documentary as if it was an NBA playoff game. As if it was an, we would react to it. We would have analysts on. We would try and get a player from those Bulls teams on. And we talked about it, mm-hmm. right? And that's what we hung our hat on until the NBA figured out we're going to Disney World and we're going to all get back together and we will figure out how we can play a playoff season in what now has been referred to as the bubble. And as we were watching these games and seeing him in empty arenas, you know, and trying our best to forget about what's going on and lose ourselves in the competition, watching it, I know I was thinking at the time, well, what would it be like if these teams were playing each other in the other team's arena? And will we ever get back to fans being in the stands watching them? I mean, this is what we were thinking about at the time. That's what I was thinking about. I'm sure this is what you or you're taking the show and by watching it or hearing it, we're thinking about as well. Especially since, you know, one team was technically the home team on that night, right? Like, they were the higher seed. It was just weird. So how crazy is it that we were thinking, how would this stuff play out if there were fans in these matchups? How nuts is it that the final four teams in that bubble are the exact final four teams that are about to start their conference finals tonight and tomorrow?
It's pretty wild.
How wild is it that the Western Conference Finals in the bubble was Lakers-Nuggets and tonight is Lakers at Nuggets? And the Eastern Conference Finals in that bubble was Heat and Celtics, and the Eastern Conference Finals begins Wednesday night at Heat at Celtics. I mean, I get the goosebumps just thinking about it. And, you know, I know the Heat don't have Tyler Hero, and it's different teams. It's different teams. But it's pretty damn close. Pretty damn close. Coaches are different for the Celtics and obviously the Lakers. But this is it. And the Lakers roster, we all know, has totally changed. But it's still LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Yep.
And now we'll see. We've got fans in other people's arenas.
I'm guessing it's going to make a huge difference.
It was, as we all know, Lakers versus the Heat in the finals.
Yeah, I'll take the opposite.
No, I know you. We can take the opposite, and you'd be right. You'd be right to take the opposite. I'm sure a town where Mo Green does not have a plaque or a sign poster, a placard to remember his creation of that city, believes the same thing, right?
Yep.
But this Lakers team, man, let's hit this too, because we didn't really hit it yesterday because of all the Suns firing their guy and the Sixers performing in a way that their guy got fired today, and Ja Morant and everything else that happened over the weekend to discuss it. I can't believe the Lakers are in the Western Conference Finals tonight. When we had Darvin Ham on this program, gents, back in the summer when he was hired, when we had him on, much of the conversation we had with him was, how is this roster going to work? And the main story about Darvin Ham's arrival in Los Angeles surrounded the fact that Russell Westbrook was in the room while he was introduced as the coach, and he was talking about Russ and his role. Don't you remember, like, Russ and his agent separated ways, longtime agent separated ways, because he wanted, what do you want? Did he want Russ to leave, or he wanted Russ to stay, and the opposite was happening? One of those two things was going down. It was really weird.
I think it had to do with the opt-out, because he was due.
It was weird,
He had a $45 million player.
The whole thing was weird, and Russ is standing there, and Ham's talking about him, and we're like, there's no way Russ is going to buy in. And as it turns out, it just doesn't matter because Russ is long gone. And the pieces that were there at the time, Austin Reeves and Lonnie Walker IV, they're still pieces that they're depending on, I guess. And have created enough of a support system with Dennis Schroeder performing well at the point, along with the others that have been brought in, D'Angelo Russell. I mean, Malik Beasley really didn't get much time yet. I don't know. Maybe he's going to come off the bench. Maybe you need him to shoot threes, put the way the Nuggets shoot threes.
Yep.
I don't know. You never know. Like, every round of an NBA playoffs, as you know, is a different organism because the matchups are different.
Yeah.
The defensive matchups that required somebody who's a good shooter but doesn't play good enough defense to sit in one series now actually has an opening to play in the next. We'll see how it does play out. Jared Vanderbilt. And Rui Hachimura.
Rui.
The way that this team has gelled and the way that Ham is coaching them, there's no way you can sit here and say the Lakers have no shot against the Nuggets and then no shot against the Lakers, against the Celtics or the Heat, if that's the way it goes.
Oh, the Lakers can win this title.
Damn straight they can.
I think we should all be afraid of that happening.
Damn straight they can. And when we had Ham on, I haven't listened back to that interview.
It's 10 months ago.
It would probably feel like it's 10 years ago based on the, at the time, legit storyline questions posed to this coach about how you're going to, you know, coach LeBron and what about this team's roster that seems unworkable. Why'd you take the job, right? A lot of folks thought maybe this was a guy that was the only guy who would accept a job that ordinarily would be a Tiffany's job that everyone would jump at the chance of.
Yeah, remember that was the...
Yeah, these were all the storylines that we're talking about.
Nobody wants to coach the Lakers.
And look at him now.
Almost 11 months, June 16th, 2022.
Dude.
I think the biggest factor is he was a rookie head coach.
Yeah.
Oh, that's another one, sure.
You know, and now
with LeBron. It's going to steamroll all over him anyway. He's been terrific.
He's done a really good job. Really good job.
You know, their transition D could be buttoned up a little bit. You could say that about everybody. And the question will be how Jokic can be contained, whether the Nuggets three-point shooters are too much for the Lakers shooting. Can it be too much? But the fact is they're there. They're there. They made it. They are in Denver tonight. And everybody thought they'd be long gone. Long gone.
2-10 start.
Got to give it up. So I can't believe we're replaying the bubble Final Four in front of fans. I'm not going to take that for granted. I'm going to enjoy watching these arenas. I'm taking for granted already that we're back. Like, you know, we're back as a sports fan base and as a human race and as a society. But I'm not taking that for granted, because when these two teams played each other in Western Conference Finals, it looked like the world was coming to an end and sports would never come back.
I'm starting to get depressed thinking about that.
I did too. I don't mean to bring you down, man. But
wow, that was just
I just can't believe that it is the same four teams as the bubble. And we do get to see it play out. It'll be great. Although not so much for you.
I'm pulling for different results.
I know you're pulling for different results, pal. And it does appear like maybe Nuggets, Celtics will be the way to go. But
maybe.
That Heat team, wise that they didn't break up for Giannis, I think. As it turns out, look who's in.
I mean,
Hero's not playing.
Looking back.
A guy you didn't want to give up, though, is not a factor. Street clothes.
Looking like a SoundCloud rapper sitting on the bench.
He's got more hats he needs to.
Oh, my gosh.
Run out each day.
Jeez, come on. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. I've got a top five list, but I got an axe to grind. Brockman wants to grind this axe, too. It's fine. We're going to grind axes.
I love axes. Grinding.
And by the way, I'm looking at you. I'm focused on you.
I'm wondering what's over here.
I'm looking over to Brockman, and I'm able to still focus on what you're doing. And I'm legit.
I'm
straight up. I'm straight up.
What? You want me to do what?
All because of three glances last night.
What's
Aaron Judge's record-breaking season has been destroyed. He might as well be wearing a buzzer.
Oh, what is wrong?
That's next.
Bang the drum slowly.
This is the Rich Eisen Show. Don't move. Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and 1-quarter moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold. So I'm at Cooper's Little League playoff game. Turned out to be the last playoff game and last game of his Little League career.
Nah, bummer.
And my phone's going nuts. That Aaron Judge is a 2-home-run game. Isn't that great? Which is great because Cooper and I have Aaron Judge on our fantasy team.
They were bombs.
And we also have Alek Manoah of the Blue Jays, who has been terrible this year. Like, he went from just... He's doing the Sparky Lyle, which is Cy Young to Sayonara.
The reverse Del Tufo.
Right? So, I mean, at any rate, I then get home, and I look down at my Twitter feed, and Aaron Judge is now a cheater. I'm like, wait a minute. What do you mean he's a cheater? The hell's going on?
What are you?
The hell going on? So I start diving into the feed here. Of course, John Boy's all over it. And he, in his second home run, second at bat against Jay Jackson of the Toronto Blue Jays, there he is peeking from the batter's box. And it's not like he's looking down to see where the catcher is located. He's looking off to the side. And he's looking in clearly to his dugout. And sure enough, the announcers of the game for the Blue Jays. You want to talk about two of the most highly respected individuals in humans. Dan Shulman, who is the voice of Sunday Night Baseball for a long time on ESPN, and somebody who I work with. That's how long ago, that's how long he's been in the game as an announcer, as a former player as well. Buck Martinez, who is, to this day, one of my favorite people I've ever worked with. And they're saying, basically, as Judge is standing at the plate, they catch him three different times in this final at-bat, looking into the Yankee dugout. I mean, they came as close as they could to basically saying, what's up with that?
Really close.
What's he looking at? Yeah. Can't be anything legitimate, is what it seemed like they were saying.
You were hinting.
And as they were talking about it, Judge Parks won.
Oh, it was so far.
He might have hit Niagara Falls if there wasn't, you know, the rest of the stands it blocking it.
Such a bomb.
Second of the day.
Dead center. Bomb.
This was Judge after the game talking about what he was looking at.
Yeah, it was kind of a lot of chirping from our dugout, which I really didn't like in the situation where it's a 6-0 game and I know Booney got tossed. Like, I was trying to save Booney by calling timeout. Like, hey, hold up here. Like, let me work here. So I was kind of trying to see who was chirping in the dugout. So it's 6-0. Like, Booney got tossed. Let's go to work now.
All right, two things. First off, whoever's choosing Boogie Wanderlust in the Yankee locker room, kudos. Kudos to you, sir. Was it Boogie Wonderland? Kudos to the disco.
I mean,
I don't know. What's that? Is that a Rizzo thing? It's probably somebody's a veteran who's in control. It's not a young kid thing. Judge.
No.
Could be Judge himself.
Yeah.
I like the disco.
1979.
Yeah.
By the way, you thought the White Sox killed it, right? They didn't. Yankees are bringing disco back, baby.
Oh, they're bringing something back.
Let me just say this.
Shenanigans.
Aaron Judge talking about Booney getting tossed. Aaron Boone got tossed during that at-bat by the home plate umpire because of, as usual, strikes being called on Judge that appear to be low just because he's 9 feet tall, okay? So he was complaining about the strikes, and the Yankees complaining about the strike zone all night long, which, by the way, would be another great song for the clubhouse to play after a win. This was the backdrop. So Judge looking in the dugout to see who's talking because, you know, Yanks up 6-0. You can kind of hear a pin drop inside Toronto. Because all I know is this. They're using the PitchCom system because of the cheating scandals of years past, of pitch catchers putting down signs and maybe television cameras are picking it up and somebody's watching a TV set they shouldn't be watching, or somebody's on an Apple Watch they shouldn't be on, or somebody... As you know, the Red Sox, Yankees as well were in this mix, in the blender that caught the Astros up. So I understand that people are saying that, but there's a system now where the catcher is calling the pitches by pressing buttons on his...
He literally has like a remote on his arm.
On his arm, or most of the catchers are putting it on their thigh and covering it with their glove hand. So Judge is not picking up on that. So what is possibly being picked up in the Yankee dugout that could be signaled to him in a manner? By the way, the other times he looked into the dugout, supposedly for a sign, he swung and missed at a ball. Okay.
Can't hit everything.
Unless you're cheating. And then another one. He didn't offer at. Now, you could say, well, he knew the pitch was going to be an off-speed pitch coming, so he'll spit on it.
Way low and outside.
But how about the one that he didn't offer at was called a strike, I believe, on the or was called a ball. He spat on it. He didn't offer at it. But here's the interesting thing, too, since we're talking about looking aside and what you should be looking straight at. You know what was straight down the middle? The pitch. pitch that he hit for a home run.
It was a breaking ball.
Dude, it was a breaking ball that was essentially middle-middle because it didn't break very much and he murdered it.
But if you know a breaking ball's coming.
Great.
Because this is your argument against the Astros.
Dude, my argument against the Astros is sure they knew it was coming, but even if he knew it was coming, how does he know it's coming? That's the whole thing I'm trying to tell you.
Someone in the dugout, and I don't.
How, but someone listen, in the dugout is what?
I reading, don't think reading, that's reading what happened. Buttons? All I'm saying is they notice maybe he's tipping his pitch, and they're relaying so to judge that, hey, we noticed on a breaking ball, he does this with his glove.
So then that's illegal if he's tipping his pitches? I thought if you're
Tell me. You were the anti-Astros cheating scandal a few years ago.
If somebody's tipping their pitches based on their body language or doing something with their glove or doing something that I guess Judge couldn't pick up himself by looking directly at the pitcher and somebody in the dugout is telling him he did the pitch, he did that tip thing, or somebody in the field is doing it that Judge can't see and he's looking in the dugout, well, then that's a YP. That's your problem.
I agree with you.
Correct.
I
that's
don't
always
care.
Been the
yeah,
case.
I don't care.
But if somebody's using technology to steal a sign, that's a problem. That needs to be eradicated. That is not cool. That is cheating. But how are they stealing it? How are they stealing a sign? Like, that's the point. Is like, if you think he's looking in for something, extrapolate it out for me, because I'll keep extrapolating out what you're insinuating for everyone. You're saying he's cheating. And you're saying, by all that, now we have an explanation for last year's home run barrage, don't we? That is the implication about all of this, and I don't like it. Clearly, I am biased, admittedly. But you better, if you are doing this, come correct. How is he stealing something? Well, he's just looking in the dugout. Well, the reason why he might be is... Oh, so he's looking in the dugout. Somebody goes like this. Oh, it's an off-speed pitch. See ya. See ya. Is that really how it works? Is that how it works?
It did not help his case that he hit an absolute bomb after looking into the dugout.
But he also swung and missed it one.
Oh, he missed it. That one he didn't miss. You can still know
because
it's coming and miss.
Because the one that he missed wasn't in a better location than the one he murdered. Look at the pitch he murdered.
You can still know it's coming and miss.
Okay. I get it.
Again, I don't think that's what happened.
Okay, so...
But clearly the Blue Jays broadcast team did.
Let's see. Let's see how it plays out. I want a full investigation. Give it. Because I bet you he will be cleared as clear as day.
Yeah, I would say so. It just looked weird. Will you admit that it looked weird?
I don't normally see, and I, by the way,
I've never seen anybody do that.
I've watched, which means maybe he's incredibly talented. Hey, shut up, guys. I need to murder this baseball when he, when he spins it middle.
I don't think we can sit here and say we've never seen that done. There's 162 baseball games. There's how many teams, how many
at-bats. Have you ever noticed that, though, before?
Think about how much baseball we don't see.
But like, how much baseball we don't see because we're not watching it, right?
I don't know.
Even if you're watching a ton of baseball, the internet's watching that much baseball that you can see every at-bat.
No, but if something like that would happen, it would be tweeted out
everything.
In a second. Yeah.
The internet's watching everything.
But that's
now.
How I found out about it. I saw John Boy, Barstool,
they
both
you.
I
told you how I found out about it. I'm watching my son's Little League game.
Was anyone looking in the dugout on the other team?
No.
Do you need an investigation?
That's the whole point, is that we may not be seeing it,
but
somebody's going to pick up on it.
Yeah, it'll be out there.
And they'll pick up on it if it's Judge.
Oh, well, for sure.
I didn't see it in any of his 62 home runs last year.
No, that's what I mean. You admit that it's weird, right?
Right, which means he was looking in his dugout because people are chirping because the umpire tossed the manager and it's like 6-0. Let's get out of Dodge here. And he said he spoke to his teammates like, pipe down when I'm at the plate so I can murder more baseballs.
But thanks for telling me what pitch was coming.
How's last place, pal? You tell me.
All right.
How's Kenley Jansen doing?
Not great, lately. Not great after a weekend sweep.
So, my two cents on Judge. You can call. Tell me, you know, 844-204-RICH. Happy to do it. Okay.
Top five. Break. Top five.
I'm not taking a break. We can do one thing to another.
Okay.
Let's go to Lonnie in Los Angeles. How are you doing, Lonnie? What's going on, brother?
How you doing?
How are you, sir?
Man, I'm upset.
Uh-oh.
They fired my dude, Doc Rivers, man. I'm upset. You know, I put up with a lot of Doc Rivers bashing over the years.
Mm-hmm.
You know how long I've known this dude? I tried to get him to come to DePaul University. To this day, I do not know why he chose Marquette instead. When I spent the day with him at DePaul, I put up with Billy Packer bashing him before the NBA draft. Doc, do you know what kind of human being Doc Rivers
is? Amazing. He's amazing.
He's a great dude,
wonderful,
man.
I know.
He was raised right. He works hard. And you can't give effort in game seven? You would have to kill me. If I'm playing game seven, I'm shooting until my arms fall off. I'm playing D. I'm getting rebounds. You would have to kill me. I don't understand.
I don't either. But
effort. You're making millions of dollars. You're making more money than Michael Jordan. Put in some effort.
I love it, Lonnie. Lonnie in Los Angeles, man, bringing the passion. And he's giving voice. Thank you for the call, Lonnie. He's giving voice to what I said at the top. Anybody who knows Doc Rivers loves him, roots for him, and is saying, man, I just wish you had these wins to get into a conference championship. And I know, again, you're the fan in the case here, too.
Two teams.
I know.
Both of them.
I know.
Multiple times, multiple years. Like, I love Lonnie's enthusiasm, but damn, man.
I
don't even know if the Sixers were running play. I'm like getting upset because I don't care anymore.
No, you do.
But like,
you do.
My God, bro, like run some plays. And I don't understand. I just don't get it. I don't understand how it's like Groundhog Day with me. And I get crapped on for having two teams. And yet the most ridiculous things happen to both of these franchises.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And there's a common denominator there. And yeah, he might be great. I met him, cool dude, but sometimes things don't work.
And I understand that. I think his point as well, as you heard, you make the valid and highly intelligent, critical point about the X's and O's and how the Groundhog Day part of it keeps showing up in heartbreaking fashion again.
And like I said, that can't really be him. You know, Chris Paul's injuries.
I know.
So that's not his fault, but.
10th game seven loss, 5th in a row, 9 straight losses with a chance to reach the conference finals. I mean, that's the numbers that lead to your voice inflection and exasperation right now. Lonnie's talking about the beard strolling up the court.
Yep.
That's what he's talking about.
No sense of urgency.
He's talking about quitting time. Now, you could say that's on the coach, but I think his point is it's on the players. Because if they know Doc like the way he knows Doc, and they must because he's there, he's around them. But coach-player, you know, relationships are frayed all over the place. I think that's what you just heard right there. Lonnie in Los Angeles, bring it.
Yeah. And like I said, I didn't see James Harden walk up the court because I was watching AJ Styles hit Shinsuke Nakamura with a Styles clash.
Ladies and gentlemen,
from Wrestle Kingdom 10.
That's
what I was doing.
Another mention here. All right, Mike, I need NFL Films music.
Sorry, TJ.
Top five. I got a top five list, gents. I got a top five list. As you know, we talked at length yesterday and earlier with Lewis Riddick. I kind of dig doing this in the middle of May.
Yeah.
From now on. Because, again, the schedules are out. The draft is done. The evaluations for free agents are virtually complete. I mean, there are still people like Zeke Elliott, for some reason, still looking for a job or
come on back
or
home,
a landing spot.
Come on back home.
But we have over 90% of the information I think we need, barring injury, to go way early and tell you which teams that missed the playoffs last year are going to crash the party and make the playoffs this year. On average, half the playoff field in the NFL the last 3 years is new every year. So I've got a top five list, top five likeliest new playoff teams in 2023. And I start with a team that I've now officially begun talking myself into winning their division. And that's the Atlanta Falcons.
Ooh.
In the NFC South.
Oh, hello, Rich Eisen.
I like Bijan Robinson. It's time for Kyle Pitts, man. Mr. Pitts has been cutting his Snickers with a knife and fork for too damn long. Okay? In the football world. It's time. It's time for Kyle. By the way, Kyle, if you're watching, it's a Seinfeld reference.
Seinfeld.
Ask your coach, because Arthur Smith has got a sense of humor, as we all know. I like the moves they made defensively. Jesse Bates is a nice free agent pickup. Calais Campbell is going to teach these guys in that locker room what it means to win football games. It's really all on Desmond Ritter's shoulders, right? Positionless football is what Terry Fontenot, the general manager, called their philosophy when he said they drafted Bijan Robinson as more than a running back. And honestly, where does the player who represents positionless football at the running back position reside the last couple of years? In Atlanta with Cordarrelle Patterson, right? So let's see. Drake London, year two. Kind of dig it. They protect up front, rush the passer in the trenches. The NFC South being winnable. I'll take Atlanta, number five on this list. Number four on this list is a team that finished strong. And normally those teams that finish strong can get out of the gate strong and perform well and actually make the playoffs, which this team and franchise is used to. I love their draft, too. I like the Pittsburgh Steelers to make the playoffs this year after missing it last year. And they're a 9-8 team from last year, as we all know. The famed stat of their head coach not having a losing record.
That's impressive.
Year to year. I think Tomlin coaches these guys up. I really do like their draft, gents. I like it. What they did in the draft. I like how they got better in the draft. I like how they have built this team. And I think Kenny Pickett showed some moxie. And I think Allen Robinson will find a home here in a way that he hasn't since his Jacksonville days. You know, and on top of it, there's got to be some momentum coming out of the fact that they brought the ketchup bottles back in line.
That most importantly.
Oh, by the way, pardon me. Acrisure. My bad. So, number three on this list is going to be controversial. I know somebody's going to roll their eyes and Aaron Judge like I'm looking right at him. The Los Angeles Rams are making the playoffs again this year, guys. They're doing it. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you think. I've got a feeling. Just call me Flashdance.
Will you be the Black Eyed Peas if you have a feeling?
I'm hooked on a feeling. What is it?
Oh, what a feeling.
I got a feeling.
It's both.
Ooka shot. Hooked on a feeling.
Guess what? Stafford's back. Cup's back. Donald's back. Let's roll.
What about the other 19 players?
I don't care. That's good enough for me. Sean McVay's renewed energy. Let's go. Last year was a total disaster. Total complete disaster. I think the Rams can come back and make some noise. Their schedule is terrible, though.
Very difficult.
First two on the road, last two on the road. Come on. They play four teams coming off of a bye. But I'm still gonna think that the Rams make it back in this mix. Number two on this list, I think you can guess these in the final two teams. I'm on it. I'm on this bandwagon. I hope you can understand. I feel like I'm a driver of this bandwagon. I help create the bandwagon. The Lions.
You were on early.
I mentioned the Lions in March. Lewis Riddick said earlier, he mentioned him in January, when he said they mopped the floor with the Packers, and they did.
They did.
And the league saw them win 8 of their last 10. They see this coach who is the right kind of crazy, and they see Aiden Hutchinson, and they see this offense. I'm on Ross St. Brown. Remember I said he was a top 10 receiver in the league? I like what they've done. I like Jahmyr Gibbs. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to be shocked at how much of a matchup nightmare he is.
Can we say his name in the whisper? Because my fantasy guys might be watching
this.
I don't want them to know about
Jahmyr Gibbs. Everyone's going to be shocked about how 12th overall might be a proper spot for him to be picked. Number one on the list, you know what it is.
It's your show.
What do you mean it's my show? What do you mean it's my show? They have the offensive and defensive rookie of the year. They've got Quinnen Williams. I don't care. He's removed Jets from his team, from his bio on Twitter. This is all posturing. The Jets will sign him. They didn't spend a gajillion dollars on Rodgers just to make their other difference maker disappear. This will get done. In the same way I knew Rodgers' trade was going to get done, Quinnen Williams will get done, and he will be hunting. And the rest of this team, as constituted, if they stay healthy, all they were missing last year was a quarterback who could give them another touchdown or 10 points a game, and they got a guy who can do that and more. And a coaching staff that's ready to roll. They are making the playoff. They are the likeliest team out of all those that missed the playoffs last year to make them make it this year. And 7-10 isn't too terrible a record to improve from. Because last year, the new teams that made the playoffs last year were 8-9, two of them, 1-9-8, 2-9-8, pardon me, 2-9-8s, 2-8-9s, a 4-13, and 3-14. A 7-10 team that's as loaded as the Jets are can make the playoffs. That's it. There isn't even a one more. Not like John Adams is going to come back to be the Verizon commercial with Einstein.
Waiting for something.
But of course, as you know, one of the biggest mysteries of the NFL now entering the season is, will Verizon sign Einstein to his fifth bar option? Will he pick up his fifth bar option? Hey, it's one of my favorite lines I've said in this microphone in a while. So thanks
brilliant.
For bringing it. Thank you very much.
Here's an interesting question. What historical figure, if they don't go with Einstein, might they pull out?
I don't know. Good question, TJ.
Ben Franklin?
Oh, let's take a break. You know, let's take a break.
Think about.
It's fun stuff on the other side. I would not move if I were you. Sam Amick of The Athletic on the NBA nuttiness still to come as well. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, otherwise again known as the Inside the Actor Studio. Chris Brockman has been termed termed an actor. On the homepage of the Kevin Rahm Celebrity Golf Tournament that's going down this weekend that you're going to play in as a celebrity / actor.
Correct.
And joining us now live on the phone line is none other than Kevin Rahm himself. How are you, Kevin?
I'm great, gentlemen. I just pounded one off number one on the Valley Course at TPC Sawgrass. 245 right down the middle.
Okay.
We played the back nine first.
Well, you know what, Kevin, I appreciate you wanting to talk golf, but at this point in time,
we're going to talk about here.
Because, I could have introduced you as legitimately an actor, Kevin Rahm. Can you walk us through how and why Chris was initially identified on your website for your St. Jude, by the way, raising money for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Bless you. Why Chris was identified as an actor, Kevin?
Well, first of all, Rich, all the great work you do for St. Jude, when you're that kind of work for St. Jude, you want to try to keep the costs low, right? So the first thing is you don't pay your people. You have a lot of volunteers.
Understood.
I found out earlier today that the woman thought that he was Michael Chiklis from The Shield.
Wow!
Yes!
So originally, that was the problem. If you check the webpage now, I believe it's been fixed.
Yes!
You want to go up there and check it now.
We have done that. We have done it.
See what it says now. What does it say?
It says actor in quotes and Nair model.
Nair.
Yes.
As in the stuff that takes your hair off.
That's correct.
Yeah. I just want to make sure they got the right in the hair and nair. Okay, cool. I just want to make sure. There's going to be some changes this week. I reached out to Richard Kind. And first of all, Rich Eisen, I know that in your world there at the studio, it all revolves around you. And that's fair. It's your name's on the show.
Yes, Kevin.
For a guy with less than 30 credits, and one of the credits is you playing Stuart Scott.
Yep.
Stuart. I'm just saying that may be the biggest range. That in and of itself gives you the credit calling yourself an actor.
I appreciate that because, again, I wasn't offended as Chris being termed an actor as a celebrity. I was offended as an actor, as a thespian.
Right.
You know, myself. And by the way,
I get it. So I talked to Richard Kind, and I asked him what he thought after watching the clip from yesterday.
Hello.
And he said, and I quote,
"Yes,
I saw Chris Brockman's Willie Loman, and he's no celebrity."
Did you? Were you in Death of a Salesman ever? Were you ever a salesman? Let's just keep going.
Oh, no. Yeah, okay. Well, I worked in retail one summer. Okay. And I don't know.
All right.
I don't think so.
Wait, were you like the guy that sprays the cologne at Macy's?
Worked at Home Depot one summer.
But Kevin, you're an actor of note, sir.
Yes, sir.
Your credits are, I could, you know, in the minutes we have remaining here, I could take them up by listing your credits. Did you, are you hearing from anybody in SAG-AFTRA at all for looping Chris into your profession?
They are so worried about the writer strike right now.
That's
this is going to fly under the radar for a while.
Okay. Should laugh.
Fran Drescher has reached out and she said, if we can get him three stand-in jobs, he might be able to get in the union.
Okay.
So I have some friends. But we have to wait for everybody to get back to work, right? So officially, that's why we put the quotes around it. He's a quote-unquote actor for now.
Yes.
You know, the boys will gather this weekend. We'll watch him. He may or may not be a golfer by the end of the weekend. We don't know. So we'll see. It'll be a day-by-day determination,
okay.
And we'll keep you posted.
Okay. So your people are now on it. Okay, very good.
Yeah, people are on it.
And they thought that he was chickless because all mass holes look alike.
Obviously.
Right?
Yeah,
okay,
right.
Very
all
good. They look alike. I get it.
Yeah.
So, all right. How's Sawgrass looking? Amazing,
it
right?
It looks gorgeous. It's no rain today, 83 degrees, mild humidity, 3 to 5 mile an hour winds. It's gorgeous.
Dude, getting Sawgrass on a weekend, that is no easy feat.
Yeah.
So how can people donate to St. Jude?
Go to theromgolf.org.
Mm-hmm.
Theromgolf.org. We just put up some auction items. There's a direct link donation page. You can just give money if you want, or you can check out some of the things we have for auction items. If you're in and around the area, we still have a few tickets for the Songwriters Night on Thursday and maybe some tickets left for the jam session on Friday and
Fantastic.
Saturday.
Fantastic. The Rom Golf.
We did $1.7 million for the kids of St. Jude last year, and we're hoping to top that this year.
Dude. God bless you, because as we all know, every penny goes to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, where sick kids get better and they find cures for the kids that come in and families don't see a bill. They could just focus right on the care of the children. Beautiful, man.
Better charity out there.
Well, thank you. That is the best charity out there. Right after that is Chris Brockman's acting career. That is, or calling him an actor. That's very charitable.
We'll send you some ROM balls back with him.
Okay, very good. Right. Have a great weekend, Kevin, and thanks for playing along.
See you soon, brother.
Keep it straight. There you go. There's Kevin ROM.
Appreciate it.
So they thought you were chickless.
Which obviously I will take.
And you root for the same teams.
Just handsome, beautiful.
You love dogs.
Bald men. Sometimes.
What do you mean sometimes? You love your. You love Maverick.
He got me up at 4 a.m. this morning.
That's what dogs do, brother.
I'm aware. Couldn't go back to sleep.
Dylan, our white golden is a freaking rooster.
Exactly why I don't have kids and dogs. I sleep at 4 a.m.
There you go, bud.
Okay, well, just want everybody to know.
There you go.
All right.
Good for you.
Proud
of you.
DJ, you with me?
Proud of you.
He feels me.
Okay.
Playing right now, 2:45 straight. Kill for that this weekend.
Have you ever played TPC at Sawgrass?
No. Only on a video game.
I played one year for Thursday Night Football.
Oh, yeah. You guys
had
the island hole, right?
It was Mooch, Kurt, Dion, and yours truly with Jim Furyk on the team.
No Jackson DeVille.
He can golf.
We were in Thursday Night Football. We were in Jacksonville, and they got the 17th green for an hour.
Wow.
And we shot... You know,
how many went into water,
shot,
Rich? Don't lie.
None for me. I don't believe any of mine went into water.
Wow. Oh, look at that.
That's not us.
Oh, I was going to say. Rich, I got a photo.
Looks no different without all the grandstands.
Of the Island Green.
You know, that you're used to seeing.
Oh, and by the way, if you drive through the Wilshire Corridor right now, you peek through the trees and the bushes of the LACC. They're setting up for the U.S. Open.
Yeah,
a month away.
In a month.
Yeah.
PGA Championship coming up this week. Okay. And that's our golf coverage today.
Great. That's our golf. Check my Instagram all weekend. I'll be live, you know,
acting
stories. Acting this weekend.
Acting as a golfer.
Gosh, everybody should just seek that out on our social media, on our Twitter account. Us learning on the air live that Brockman was
labeled
or identified as an actor in this celebrity golf tournament. As it dawned on us,
I rewatched that last night. That I literally text these guys. I just sat there and just laughed.
Because that's what we do.
The live stuff.
Coming up in the next hour, Sam Amick of The Athletic on what's gone down in the NBA.